Father, thank you so much for your goodness tonight as we continue to reflect upon the meaning of Christmas. And Lord, I can't think of a better way to reflect upon the meaning of Christmas than talking about how we can reach the world with the gospel. Because that is indeed why you came, Lord Jesus, to seek and to save them which were lost. I thank you for Brother Eric and Sister Holly, and Lord, their heart's desire to reach the people of the DR. And not just there, but even here in the States while they're here on furlough. And I pray you'd bless them tonight, Lord. Bless Brother Eric as he shares his heart and gives an update and then challenges us with the Word of God. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be attentive. Settle us down, Lord. Would you take away the distractions? If anybody's like me, it's been a busy day. And Lord, there's been a busy week. But tonight, Lord, you are worthy of our full focus. And for that, we say thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask that, Holy Spirit, you would just take full control of this service. And we'll give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll go ahead and show the video, and then Brother Eric, you come.
Johnsons, Eric, Holly, Ashley, Zach, Tyler, and Lauren, missionaries to the Dominican Republic. When we arrived as church planters in 2009, our goal was to plant a church where people could hear the gospel clearly preached, without the confusion of a works-based religious system. Throughout our 9 years here, we've been privileged to see many trust Christ as their Savior and grow in their daily walk with the Lord. This transformation has impacted individuals, families, and our community. We would like to take a few minutes to share with you the incredible ways that God is blessing our ministry in the Dominican Republic. One of the ways the Lord blessed us last year was by sending us new teammates, the Scapers family. They have been missionaries here in the DR for over 10 years, serving in two different church plants. Their work with the youth specifically has been invaluable. We are supremely grateful that the Lord has allowed the Scapers family to be part of our team. One of the newest community outreaches that I've loved being a part of is our youth baseball ministry. As many of you know, the Dominican Republic is home to some of the best baseball players in the major leagues. Some of the local managers have allowed us to hold weekly Bible studies with the players. Our goal is to see many of these players trust Christ and begin growing in their faith. Yet, the most exciting news is the establishment of two new church plants within the last year from our ministry. A number of years ago, a young teenager named Ari Amparo came to our church and inquired about receiving pastoral training. He desired to plant a church in his impoverished and dangerous part of town, known as Vista del Valle. Ari began serving the Lord in our church, and within a very short amount of time, it was apparent that God had clearly gifted him to preach and teach His Word. In 2016, God provided two wonderful blessings for Ari. First, was a godly wife named Francelli, who is a wonderful helper for him in the ministry. The second blessing was a piece of property, which had a small building to hold Bible studies. After about a year holding Bible studies, this small group of believers began construction of their own church building. It was truly remarkable to see each step of the construction process and how incredibly the Lord provided resources and help until the project's completion. On September 3, 2017, we held the inaugural service for Iglesia Bautista Vista del Valle, View of the Valley Baptist Church. We have been so pleased to see the consistent growth in their first year of ministry, and we expectantly look forward to what God will do with this dedicated couple and church in the future. Lastly, we are overjoyed to share with you another church plant being started by a man from our church. Brother Elias Ventura has been a faithful member, bus driver, and Sunday school teacher in our church for a number of years. Last year, God put a great burden on his heart for those who live in the countryside where he lives. So, he decided to take a few pieces of wood and a few sheets of metal, and he made a small area where they could begin holding Bible studies. Quickly, the word went out along the countryside, and soon there was no more room under the small tin roof. Even more exciting was the number of people who trusted in Christ as a result of this Bible study. God has clearly blessed this new work, and very soon Brother Elias will be ordained and officially launch the church. Please be in prayer for all three churches. Pray for those who have yet to trust in Christ, and pray for the continued spiritual growth of the new believers. We praise God for the amazing things He has done in the last 9 years, and we humbly thank you for your part in sending us to be your representatives of Jesus Christ in the DR.
Amen. It's a blessing to see every time what God is doing and to come back and tell you about it. It's exciting being God's representative of Crooked Creek Baptist Church there in the Dominican, representing you guys and telling others about Jesus. We had such a wonderful time this summer with your church group. I wanted to tell some of the stories, some of the fun times. I don't know if how many of you guys remember when you guys called us a few months before the trip and asked about, I think you just wanted to get a rundown. It was like a missions call and a Skype call. You guys remember that? And I think you guys were teasing. I teased something about they were going to come down and lay on a hammock or something. And the group brought us a hammock down. It was so nice of them to bring a hammock down. And never had a hammock before. It's very cool. Let me just say thank you, whoever brought those hammocks. They're very nice. But we had a great time. I don't know if you remember in the video here, there was a picture of all the kids and inside the church building holding these little banners. That was our second VBS of the summer. Your group helped us with the first VBS. And if you can imagine, the reason we don't have a photo of that is because it was twice the size of that group of kids. The very first day we had VBS at the church plant, we had 140 kids come into a building that probably could only host about 100 or so, okay? And we actually had to close the door and tell people we can't come in. It was the hardest day we ever had in our ministry. And I praise the Lord that Pastor Branson and Brother Jeff and Miss Vanetta and Josh and Jake were there to help us out. And we had a great time with them. But I think Brother Jake is working tonight. He's not here tonight, but I wanted to tell a funny story about him. We, after we worked really, really hard one night in front of our house, we're playing cornhole. For those of you who know what cornhole is, a little game where you toss beanbags. And Brother Josh and I, we were just killing him, weren't we, Brother Josh? We were beating him and Brother Benson really badly. And Jake, he just looked at me and says, "I'm not sure there's a whole lot of missionary work going on here." He's like, "You look like you just play cornhole all day long." And I'll always remember that. That was a good time. We really laughed a lot. We worked hard, and we had a fun time. So thank you so much for the families, those who gave so that group could come down and help us. We really did need their help, and they did a great job, and we had a lot of fun with them. And I just want to encourage you, for the next time you have an opportunity to go on a missions trip, you know, it is a lot of hard work, depending if you go to a warm climate or a cold climate or what happens. You work hard, but boy, you make some memories. The Lord will knit your hearts together with other church members in a special way. In fact, I got called into the ministry after going on a missions trip. I started to fall in love with my wife going on a missions trip. So teenagers, you never know what God's going to do. I'm just teasing. But mission trips are good ideas for churches to go and see the other side. I was talking to Brother Josh, and he was talking and saying how it encourages him now. He knows better how to pray as he sees the photos from the mission, from Facebook, things like that, what we're doing in the Dominican, and reading the letters because he's visualized it and seen it. And so those of you who can go, I encourage you to go on a missions trip. It will change your perspective. You'll know how better to pray for missionaries. And I also want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness to our ministry from the very beginning. I know my wife was a small child here, grew up here, and knows so many of you for many, many years. And thank you for your influence in her life. But thank you for your support of our ministry from the very beginning. I praise the Lord for that. And I know that there will be many special spiritual blessings in your account in heaven one day for your faithfulness to that account. And so that kind of gives you an update on what's going on with us. We're going to be heading back January 9th to Dominican, where it's much, much warmer right now. Okay, I saw one of our friends there say it was over 90 degrees yesterday. We're having trouble still getting used to 55 and 60 degrees. But we're going to be starting there in the beginning of the year. Pray for us. We have three different ministries we're working with and a lot of neat things going on in 2019. Pray for us, for our safety. Pray for our health. Pray for the leaders you just saw in the video, Pastor Ari and Pastor Elias, and the works they're doing there. The group also got to go over and see Brother Elias's work, and it's totally different than where Brother Ari is. Much a different culture, different area of town, but yet just a great need. So you pray for us, continue in that, and that'll be a great blessing for us. And if you would, this evening, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Boy, I love Christmas, and Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to be. And before I go on, while we are looking for that, I had such a wonderful time being in your church services on Sunday, being encouraged, being strengthened. I so enjoyed Brother Christian's Sunday school class. It was such an encouragement, so very biblically sound. Pastor Brenson's message was so encouraging to my soul. Let me encourage you, if you're new to the church, I know there are some new people, don't take it for granted that you have a church that emphasizes the Bible. I've been to a lot of churches, and if there's some areas where a lot of churches are struggling, it's where they get away and they tell a lot of stories, but they don't open the book and study the book. Praise the Lord for a wonderful church that studies the Bible. And you, those in the Sunday school class who are very dedicated to knowing their Bible, that's the best way to grow in your Christian walk. And it encourages our souls to come back and see a church that's putting the Bible first and going forward and studying the Word of God. And that's how you change communities, that's how you change families, and that's how you change our country, is using the Word of God. So, tonight we're in Matthew chapter 5. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And we won't take a long time tonight, but I want to connect Matthew 5 with Matthew 1. You just stay there in Matthew 5. But in Matthew 1, I'm thinking about the Christmas season. And I just love this verse in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1. This is the angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph in his dream. And he says, "And she," speaking of Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know, we have so much going on in the Christmas season. We have presentations, we have parties, we have food. And as you can tell, I am not against any of those things, all right? I love Christmas time, especially in America. I love all the lights. I love everything about Christmas. We love in the Dominican celebrating Christmas. But you know, Christmas is all about this verse. Jesus Christ coming to earth, dwelling with us, becoming our Emmanuel, as we sang my favorite Christmas song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And taking that is the reason why Christ came to this earth. Now fast forward to Matthew chapter 5. Christ, that babe that was in Bethlehem, has grown up. He's 30 plus years old. And now he's giving his probably most famous Sermon on the Mount, where he's telling those who have trusted in him how we're to live our lives. You know, the Christmas season is probably the best time of year where people in a secular environment are the most open to hear about Jesus Christ. You know, even the world will sit there and think and talk about Christmas in a context where they have some understanding what it's about. It's about a baby in a manger, some wise men and some shepherds, you know. And as believers, I believe tonight we can glean a lot from this passage of Scripture to encourage ourselves how we are to live our Christian lives, especially during this Christmas season. How we can be salt and how we can be light in this dark and dying world. So if you will, follow along in your copy of God's Word. I'll read verses 13 through 16. The Bible reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Notice verse 16. let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray this evening and ask God to bless our time together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time we have to gather in your house. And as the pastor mentioned, just right now, Lord, help us to take away the distractions and the things we have to do this week, the things we have done. Lord, let's concentrate through your Holy Spirit on these few verses. And Lord, help us to see how during this busy hustle and bustle time, we can be salt and we can be light in this world. And Lord, how with an open door to tell someone about you and what it means to be our Emmanuel, that you'll give us that opportunity and we would take advantage of that, Lord. And you would direct us and direct our steps. For we ask this in your precious name. Amen. You know, I don't have to tell you tonight that we live in a dark and dying world. All you really have to do is turn on the nightly news to see how depraved and how difficult our culture can be. In fact, that's one reason why I don't turn on the news very often, is because it can become quite depressing. So we know that. We know that we live in a dark and dying world. In fact, that's the word the Bible uses to describe someone who's not trusted in Christ as their Savior. They're living in darkness. You know, I read a report the other day. It was very interesting. A number of years ago, there was a gentleman living in California who got in trouble. Listen to this. He got in trouble for having a Bible study in his home. He didn't have the proper permits and papers to have a Bible study. Now, think of the state of California. Think of all the perverseness you probably could get away with your friends in your home. But to host a Bible study in your home, you needed a permit. You know, that just shows us the kind of culture, the kind of dark and very depraved culture we live in. And once again, I say that not to discourage us, but to show us the current climate that we're in. But you know what? The number one deterrent to darkness, what is it? Light. Amen. The light of the gospel. You know, when Christ calls us to be the light, really, in a sense, you and I are not the light, but a reflection of the light. Jesus says, you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 8, verse 12, Christ said this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Amen. Our job is to reflect the true light to a dark and dying world. At Christmas season, it's very exciting, it's very fun. But you know, there's a lot of people who are seeking to fill up their stockings, to fill up their underneath their tree with things that I think are going to bring them fulfillment and joy. And when January comes and the bills come, so will the depression. And they will still be living that darkness. It's a wonderful time of the year for us as believers who have the light of Christ in our hearts to share that light, to reflect that light, which is Jesus Christ and His saving gospel. We will not take much time tonight, but I want to encourage you with this theme. If you don't remember anything, just remember this. God has called you and I. And when I say you and I, I'm talking to those who have received Him as their personal Savior. You know, on a night like this, I'm sure the majority of the people who've come out have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. But if you have not done this, this message is not for you. The first step, if you have not received Christ, is that you also are walking in this darkness. And Christ wants you to receive His light. To receive the gospel, become born again, to be converted from your sins. But those of us tonight who have made that decision, who have trusted in Jesus Christ, know this. God has called us to be light in this world. Our number one goal is to reflect who He is to those who don't know Him. And very briefly this evening, we're going to look at three wonderful truths about this undeniable fact that you and I could be light, salt and light in this world. The first truth is very basic, and it's very encouraging to my soul. God has a plan, and that plan is that we would have influence. God's plan for the world is that you and I would have influence. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Notice in verse 14, Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill, cannot be hid." Notice verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth." Christ uses two amazing illustrations to describe in practical terms how you and I
can make a real impact in this world. How we can have real influence in the lives of others. The first illustration is a wonderful one. Salt. Salt. You know, salt brings many different reactions in our lives. And we're going to talk about a few of them. You know, in case you didn't know, but I just want to let you know a little secret. I love Chick-fil-A. Okay? I love Chick-fil-A. They have no Chick-fil-A's in the Dominican Republic. I've told our parents that if they ever do get a Chick-fil-A in the Dominican Republic, we're probably just not going to come home anymore. They need to come visit us, okay? Because we'll have had everything we need. I love Chick-fil-A. You know, and to me, one of the most underrated items on the Chick-fil-A menu are the waffle fries, okay? I love waffle fries. But you know, I was at Chick-fil-A the other day, and I took a bite into a waffle fry, and there was a problem. What was the problem? Didn't have any salt on that waffle fry. We quickly remedied that situation, all right? When we put salt on our food, what are we looking for? What's the reaction? Flavor. Flavor. Why do we add salt to our steaks? Why do we add salt to anything we eat? For flavor. To add flavor. What a great illustration of how we should be as believers. We should provide a wonderful flavor of Jesus Christ to those who don't know Him. How many of you have seen Christians who walk around like this? Sour Christians. Christians without salt. Salt, as it says here in verse 13, that has lost its savor. It says, wherewith shall be salted? It sends forth good for nothing. How many people come into church with faces that don't look like they have the salt of Jesus Christ in their lives? That don't provide a flavor. What we're talking about is that when others are around you who don't know Jesus Christ, they say, man, that girl has something different. That guy, man, he's just got a flavor to him. He is excited about his Lord. He really believes that. She really believes it. That's a flavor of Jesus Christ. Now, when we have a big bucket of these waffle fries, with lots of flavor on it, what's the second reaction we normally have? Thirst, right? Thirst. And I believe that the correct way to deal with this thirst is a very large Dr. Pepper, okay? My two number one goals when we went to the Dominican Republic, the first was to clearly preach God's word to those who have not heard. The second was to make sure they got Dr. Pepper in the city where I lived. Both things are taking place right now in San Francisco de Macorís. So when we have lots of salt, one of the reactions is thirst. That's another great illustration for you and me for our lives, how we're to live in the face of those who don't know Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. It means maybe you're going through a trial. You're going through a difficult time in your life, and how you live your life alongside your coworkers, alongside your neighbors, should draw a thirst from them to say, wow, he's going through the same kind of thing I've been through, but something's different. Something's different, and I would like some of that. I would like to be like him, how he reacts. He's not perfect, but boy, he's got a confidence in his Lord. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a flavor, a thirst, that we reflect the true light of Jesus Christ. He's talking about our conduct. He's talking about how we live our lives, how we can influence others. But you know, it's important that we have the character of God in our lives. You know, you can't provide a flavor or provide thirst if you're not an honest employee. You can't be someone who's partaking or telling off-color or dirty jokes in your workplace. You can't be someone who in the workplace has a wandering eye towards the opposite sex that's not your wife or your husband. You know why? Because the world will see you say one thing and do another and say, you're a fake. You will not have influence. You will not have an ability to show them and reflect the true light of Jesus Christ. But if you are a faithful person to your Lord, you are faithful to your wife, you are an honest employee, the world will take notice. They will come to you in times of need because they'll know you're the real article. Not perfect. No one's perfect. But they'll know that you are someone who trusts in the Lord. You're someone with influence. You are living your life the way you say that you are. That's the salt. That's the influence from within. But there's another illustration, very briefly, notice in verse 14. Light. This is the external influence. This is how we live our lives in front of everyone. Not just who we are, but how we live it, the conduct, the steps of our path. Verse 14 says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. When you stand up for right in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your job, you can't hide it. It'll be evident who you are. When you stand up for the right things and you do the right things, it will be evident. You have influence from without, from your, just by your example, how you live your life. There is no better time than the Christmas season than to have influence in other people's lives. There will be open doors. I love that you have some Christmas tracks. No one's going to say no to a Christmas track. Everyone loves Christmas time. When you're giving and spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars at these places, and the smile, you say, hey, this is something for you to read later on. I've never had anyone say no to that. It's the least we can do to be salt and to light, to show and to have influence in this dark and dying world. You know, it used to be probably 20, 25 years ago, you could go around this community, these neighboring counties, and there would be one particular type of person living here. In case you haven't noticed, the mission field has come to you. People from all over the world. I was just out in the Mall of Georgia. I saw every type of ethnicity from the world out there. There are people who've come, and I know this because I live in Northern Virginia. The majority of my neighbors were not from that area, were from other parts of the world. People who truly have no idea about the Christmas story. Have no idea who Jesus is and why he came to earth and how he was the God-man and he dwelt among us. That he was our Emmanuel. But that starts, we can have those open doors when we're being salt and being light. God's plan for the world is that we have influence. The second truth is, even though God has a plan, sometimes there's a problem. And that problem is that you and I often fail. Notice the second half of verse 13. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. You think of that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. But sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we do. We just don't have time, or we don't want to be bothered by it. But sometimes we do put our light under the bushel. I've been as guilty of this as anyone. You know, there's sometimes convenience, whatever the reason. Sometimes we aren't as interested in being salt and light. Lord has called us to do that. That is what he said. If we are his, we are believers in him. If we want to truly change this world from within, it starts with you and I declaring the light of the gospel to those who are living in darkness. I'm thinking about when I worked about 20 years ago at Sprint Communications. There was a young man who worked there with me. He was a believer. His name was Richard. And when I started working there, probably the first year, year and a half working there, I did not live the life I probably should have lived in front of him. I was not being salt, and I was not being light. I was a believer, but I wasn't as close to the Lord that I needed to be. And I thank the Lord. He allowed me to find my home church there in Herndon. And very quickly, I rededicated myself to the Lord. And I worked in an operations center that was 24 hours. And we worked the midnight shift. And when I would get my hour break, I would go out into the offices and I would pray and I would do my devotions. And I didn't know this, but Richard was taking notice of that. And he one day came close to me. He said, I noticed a change in your life. I noticed that you're very serious about the Lord. Where do you go to church? And I had a chance to take Richard to my church. And Richard became my best friend, became the best man in my wedding. And to this day, he's faithfully serving the people there in our church. A faithful servant who goes all over the world on missions trips, who serves the people in the church. And I'm so thankful because I messed up in the beginning. But the God gave me a second chance to have an influence in his life. And I say that for you because maybe there's someone in your mind right now you're thinking about. I don't know if it's a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, someone you cross paths with. That you know you're supposed to do this. One of the phrases I always say to our church is, my problem with the Bible is not the things I know, I don't know about the Bible. My problem are the things I know and I don't do. I don't do. There's plenty in here I know what to do and I just sometimes don't do it. Maybe you're like that. Maybe there's someone God has put on your mind that you messed up one time. Pray for a second chance to make an influence in their lives. Someone who's living in darkness that needs the truth of the gospel. The light that they need is the light of the gospel. God's plan is that you and I have influence. Our problem is that we often fail. But thank the Lord, He has a greater purpose. And God's purpose in all mankind is that He would receive glory. Notice verse 16. God's ultimate purpose is always to receive glory. Verse 16, such a familiar verse. Let your light so shine before men. Notice the progression here. Let your light shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify not your church. They don't glorify you. They glorify our Father, which is in heaven. The Greek word here for good works is a wonderful word that just means of great quality or great beauty. You know, one great work or beautiful work that we as a church do is giving to world missions. Let me explain that. You know, if a person were to come off the street and hear you talking about raising money for your church, but let's just say you're raising money for a parking lot or a roof or a car or a van. None of those things are bad things. Churches need them. You have to have funds to keep a church going. But they understand that in some way you are receiving a benefit of that. But when you give to foreign missions, when, as your pastor mentioned, you'll be taking on some new missionaries. When you take those funds and you send them to people that maybe you get a chance to meet one or two times, but most of you only meet when they come to your church. And you're giving to people like Brother Ari, who's there on the mission field, who you will probably never meet on this side of heaven. People realize you really are serious about God's word. You are willing to give of your resources so that others can hear the gospel and be saved, that you will never see it until the other side of heaven. People will say that that person really cares about the Lord. That is a good work. That is a beautiful work. That who receives the glory? Not you, but God. That's what Christ is saying here. What we do influences others. And when we live for Him, the teenagers go out and they go caroling this week, or when we give to special projects, or when we go on special projects, or whatever we do for His glory, He will receive that glory so that others will take notice and glorify God. That's how we can have influence. He's called us to have influence. And even if we fail, He often will give us a second chance so that He can receive the ultimate glory. Now, maybe you're here tonight. I'll read one more verse, and you're still like, man, okay, I understand, but why do we need to do this? What's salt and light? You know, when I have an opportunity, I'd like to help out, but, you know, Paul says it best, I believe, in Colossians 1:27. As he gives us the reason why we should tell others about Him, why we want to see others know and live out of this spiritual darkness. Colossians 1:27, the Bible says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? Talking about the gospel to those nations who have not heard. Notice this phrase, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why do we go as missionaries? Why do we pray for missionaries? Why do we go out and tell others in our communities? Because we have a hope that they don't have. And what is it? Our hope, listen. As much as I love our church, our hope is not in the church. Although it's a great place to go and hear about Jesus. Our hope, notice it says, which is Christ in you. Our hope is that if we have received Jesus Christ, He dwells in us. He is in us. That's the message we have to give to others. That's what the Christmas season is about. That Christ came and He dwelt with us. And now that as He has ascended to heaven, He can dwell now in our hearts. That's the hope of Christmas. That's the hope of missions. That is why we need to be salt. That is why we need to be a light. That's what Christ has called us to do. Now, it starts with our lives. I mentioned earlier, it's not about perfection. Because once we're saved, we're always saved. We're secure. But we can lose our influence. So it's important that you live a godly life. That you live an honest life. You live a life that is according to God's word. So you can make an influence in the lives of others. And when you fail, that you ask the Lord for forgiveness and opportunities to continue to try to influence that person to the Lord for the purpose that He would ultimately receive the glory. Tonight, when you think about Christmas, when you think about what we need to do this Christmas season, think about how you can be salt, how you can be light. I imagine all of us in the next few days are going to be with family. And if your families are like some of my members of my family, There are those who are either far from the Lord or some who don't even know the Lord. You know, Christmas is a wonderful opportunity where everyone is usually, hopefully, in a very happy mood. That's a great time to ask the Lord to allow you opportunities to be salt and light so that He can receive the glory. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this time. I pray You just bless these kind people who are here tonight. Lord, bless the prayer time we're about to have. Draw to our mind the things through Your Holy Spirit that we need to focus on. But Lord, I pray for the person who's thinking right now, Lord, of a person in their lives. Family member, coworker, neighbor, whoever it is, Lord. For the opportunity to have an influence in their lives. Maybe there's an area in our lives that we need to correct first, Lord. An area we need to work on so that we can have a better opportunity, a more open door to share Your gospel light with them this evening. Lord, bless us this evening. We ask this in Your holy name.